So Jesus has been talking for the past like 8 chapters now of what it looks like to have faith, of what it looks like to trust. And he's done that through a lot of different kinds of stories, through stories of being found by God in the times when we are lost, how God searches for us, in the ways that God is waiting for us, and God is watching and scanning the horizon for the second that we turn and then runs out to meet us. He's been talking about the different ways that God's people can be faithful, especially when the whole world looks like it's falling apart. And in the end of chapter 17, Jesus talks about what it looks like to be faithful when the Son of Man comes, when the whole world is ending, and exactly what God's people can be doing and can be expecting for the way the world will be. It's a little bit of a rough story that we have just come out of when we read Luke chapter 18. And it matters because you'll hear it different if you don't know the whole story around it. And what all of this stuff amasses to, everything from Luke chapter 12 to right now, is a really tall order of what Jesus is telling his disciples, of what God expects of us, about how to have faith in the times of chaos. And really, it's a lot. And so Jesus tells a parable. He turns to this story as a way of giving us something to hold on to, a mental image, a picture, a story that we can recall in the times when things are hard. And in only one of 2 places, the person writing down tells us what we're supposed to hear. Jesus tells a parable about our need to pray always and not lose heart. And so he tells the story of this woman who's all alone in the world, that her spouse has died, and in those times and those places, she would be completely reliant on family, but she has none. And someone has wronged her in some way. We don't get details, so you imagine it yourself, what you think is wrong. And she goes to a judge, and she stands before the judge and says, "Grant me justice. Help take care of me, because it's your job as a judge, as appointed judge over the nation of Israel. It's your job to make sure that I'm taken care of." And the judge, we get to see his own little internal monologue, and he's pretty self-aware. "Well, I don't care about God, and I really don't care about people, but because this woman just keeps coming, I'll give her what she needs." And then Jesus kind of goes through this line of questioning that I'm going to summarize this way. Now, if this unjust judge would finally do what's right for this woman, this judge who doesn't care about God and doesn't care about people, no respect for people, no reverence or awe for God, if he will finally do something that's right, how much more would God take care of us? The one who created us, who gave us the rules to love God and love one another, how much quicker would God answer our prayers? And then Jesus ends with this question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? That awful rhetorical question that just kind of hangs there. And now, we could hear this a lot of different ways. I mean, we could hear this promise that God will answer our prayers, that every time we call out to God, God is right there with us, ready to answer, and that God doesn't delay, even though it sure seems like it sometimes. But this isn't a parable about how God answers prayer. This is a parable about our need to pray. So let go of this, God has to answer me right now, right? Because God is just and loving, right? So where's my answer right now, God? This is a parable about us, about our need to pray. And it's a lesson that Jesus teaches all the time to his disciples. I mean, not only does he model it, he sneaks off more than once to go pray by himself in a quiet place. So he lives what he's teaching his disciples. And he's taught them this wonderful prayer, this model about asking the Father for his presence with us, for God's will and God's kingdom to be lived out in our lives, that we ask God for daily bread, which isn't just what we put in our mouths, but all the things that we need, the friendships, the family, the meaningful work, the meaningful play, all of the things that we need, we are asking God for. And then much more for the forgiveness of our sins and for guidance and help in living our life away from a path of evil. And Jesus gives them this wonderful model and then tells us to pray. To pray, to talk to God, to over and over again have this be part of your life. And these are good and wonderful things to ask for. And if we don't ask for them, how do we expect to receive them? It is a good thing to talk to God, to ask God for those things that we need. But let me name right now that that is a hard thing also. That is a really hard thing to keep prayer as number one in our lives, to keep our relationship with God at the forefront of everything we do. Just like the woman who rises every day going to talk to the judge, knowing that he's going to turn her down, but she still goes. A lot of times our prayers can feel like that. That we rise every day and we go ask God for something and it doesn't feel like it's answered. And to keep doing that without losing hope, that is a tall order. And that is hard. And that is exhausting. Because let's face it, most of the things that we ask God for, we expect a result on. So God, help fix this problem. Or God, help guide me in what I'm supposed to choose. We don't get a neon sign that flashes and says, go this way. Recalculating more often than not. We don't get the instant healing of a lot of our friends, even though we know that there are stories of miracles that happen and the cancer is gone, and we praise God for that, but then in our prayers, our person hasn't been healed yet. We ask God for results of a friend, a family friend that might come back into this friendship and this place that cares for them, or addictions to stop, or Alzheimer's to slow down. We ask for things and we expect those results. And more often than not, we open our eyes from our prayer and nothing's changed. This parable is about our need to pray always and not lose hope. It is hard to pray like that. It is hard to live faith like that, because these things that we ask are good and wonderful. They are things that people need, for cancer to go away, for friendships to be mended, for guidance in their lives. They are good needs that we have. But it feels like God delays. It is easy to lose hope. And that's when Jesus throws out that hard rhetorical question at the end of all of this teaching that makes me shrink. I don't know what it does to you, but when the Son of Man comes, will he still find faith on earth? See, I've been telling you the past few weeks, faith isn't about having all the right things that you believe. It's not about having a perfect interpretation of Scripture, like Scripture is going to help us know everything about God. God is so much bigger than what we can grasp. It's not about belief. Faith is about what believing people do with what they believe. Faith is about how we connect with the God who is bigger than what we can comprehend. Faith is what believing people do with their belief. And so when Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will there be faith on earth? Will there still be people who, even though the questions are big and the answers are few, are there still going to be people that are calling out to God? Are there still going to be people who, like Psalm 121 says, are going to look at the mountains and know that their help's not coming from there, but that it's coming from someone greater? Are there still going to be people who look to God instead of self-help books or self-help philosophies? Are there people who are going to look to God instead of another person to help guide them through life? Are there going to be people who still try to find God's way in their life? That's what faith is. Are there still going to be people that call out to God in their times of need, in their times of struggle, and their times of chaos? And really, more often than not, it feels like we're wrestling with God. That we want this and we don't see it yet, and so we're going to wrestle and badger and we're going to try and get God to do something. But really, let's take a lesson or a story from Genesis, from Jacob, who actually literally wrestles with God at a place called I saw God face to face and didn't die. That's what Peniel means. It gave you the definition right in the reading. In this place where Jacob is, and really in his life, we just did this with confirmation students. In his life, he is right about ready to face his brother, who for the past 14 years he's ran away from after stealing his birthright. He is expecting to go to this place and have his brother murder him. And he's sending his family ahead, and he is by himself, and he is wrestling internally, and then some guy comes out of the woods and starts wrestling with him. I don't know what the rules were. That's awkward to me. Hey, you want to wrestle? Sure. But here's the story, is right in the middle of his own chaos, when he is facing the biggest obstacle he thinks he'll ever face in his life, of a brother who wants to kill him, is when God shows up and wrestles with him. When God meets him in the middle of that chaos and that fear and struggles along with him and then blesses him and then says, you have a new name. I'm switching it from Jacob to Israel. It means, again in the scriptures, someone who wrestles with God and with man and who's prevailed. That it's in that prayer and that relationship we have with God, in those times when we wrestle and struggle, when we are facing our own giant things that we don't know which way it's going to go, but it feels like death, God is there with us wrestling. And then God renames us. God renamed you at your baptism, but God keeps reminding you of your new name, that you are beloved, that you are owned by God's love, that he holds on to you deeper and stronger than any other kind of fear or worry could hold on to you. And that God promises that you have new life. Even though you open your eyes and it might not feel like it now, God's Spirit is always working in you to make that new life show up. And that you are blessed in the middle of your chaos. This is about our need to pray always and not lose heart. And it's when we've been reminded of who we belong to, of how we are loved, and how this God is always more ready to hear than we are to pray. And when we know that is when God will find faith on earth. When we know who we belong to and we go seek that God for strength is when Christ finds faith on earth. So our job is to pray always. To pray always and not lose heart. To pray before you check Facebook or as you try to get up out of bed. To pray as you're moving from one task to the next at work. Take a little pause. To pray as you're stuck at the stoplight, waiting behind somebody, or as you're driving and see somebody tailing you. To pray when you're making dinner. To pray when you're eating dinner. To pray when you're taking care of your body. To pray when you're not taking care of yourself. In every moment, to let your eyes be lifted to the God who is greater than the struggles that we face. And to know that God is right alongside you wrestling through it all. Amen. If you are able, I invite you to stand. We will join together.